Chapter 7. Race Thought and New Thought. The steady following up of the successive stages of the creative process has led us to the recognition of an individuality in the all-creating spirit itself, but an individuality which is, by its very nature, universal, and so cannot be departed from without violating the essential principles on which the further expansion of our own individuality depends. At the same time, it is strictly individual, for it is the spirit of individuality, and is thus to be distinguished from that merely generic race personality which makes us human beings at all. Race personality is, of course, the necessary basis for the development of this individuality. But if we do not see that it is only the preliminary to further evolution, any other conception of our personality as members of the race will prevent our advance toward our proper position in the creative order, which is that of introducing the personal factor by the exercise of our individual power of initiative and selection. It is on this account that race thought, simply as such, is opposed to the attempt of the individual to pass into a higher order of life. It limits him by strong currents of negative suggestion, based on the fallacy that the perpetuation of the race requires the death of the individual. And it is only when the individual sees that this is not true, and that his race nature constitutes the ground out of which his new individuality is to be formed, that he becomes able to oppose the negative power of race thought. He does this by destroying it with its own weapon, that is, by finding in the race nature itself the very material to be used by the spirit for building up the new man. This is a discovery on the spiritual plane equivalent to the discovery on the physical plane that we can make iron float by the same law by which it sinks. It is the discovery that what we call the mortal part of us is capable of being brought under a higher application of the universal law of life, which will transmute it into an immortal principle. When we see what we call the mortal part of us in this light, we can employ the very principle on which the negative race thought is founded as a weapon for the destruction of that thought in our own minds. The basis of the negative race thought is the idea that physical death is an essential part of the normal standard of personality, and that the body is composed of so much neutral material with which death can do with what it likes. But it's precisely this neutrality of matter that makes it just as amenable to the law of life as to the law of death. It is simply neutral, and not an originating power on either side. So then, when we realise that our normal standard of personality is not subject to death, but is the eternal essence of being life itself, then we see that this neutrality of matter, its inability to make selection or to take initiative on its own account, is just what makes it the plastic medium for the expression of spirit in ourselves. In this way, the generic or race mind in the individual becomes the instrument through which the specializing power of the spirit works toward the building up of a personality based upon the truly normal standard of individuality, which we have found to be inherent in the all-originating spirit itself. And since the whole question is that of the introduction of the factor of personal individuality into the creative order of causation, this cannot be done by depriving the individual of what makes him a person instead of a thing, namely, the power of conscious initiative and selection. For this reason, the transition from the fourth kingdom into the fifth cannot be forced upon the race, either by a divine fiat or by the generic action of cosmic law. for it is a specializing of this cosmic law, which can only be affected by personal initiative and selection. Just as iron can only be made to float under certain specialized conditions, and consequently, the passage from the fourth into the fifth kingdom is a strictly individual process, which can only be brought about by a personal perception of what the normal standard of the new individuality really is. This can only be done by the active laying aside of the old race standard and the conscious adoption of the new one. The student will do well to consider this carefully, for it explains why the race cannot receive the further evolution simply as a race. And also, it shows that our further evolution is not into a state of less activity, but of greater, not into being less alive, but more alive. Not into being less ourselves, but more ourselves. Thus, being just the opposite of those systems which present the goal of existence as reabsorption into the undifferentiated divine essence. On the contrary, our further evolution is into greater degrees of conscious activity than we have ever yet known, because it implies our development of greater powers as the consequence of our clearer perception of our true relation to the all-originating spirit. It is the recognition that we may, and should, measure ourselves by this new standard, instead of by the old race standard that constitutes the real new thought. The new thought, which gives new life to the individual, will never be realized so long as we think that it is merely the name of a particular sect, or that it is to be found in the mechanical observance of a set of rules laid down for us by some particular teacher. It is a new fact in the experience of the individual, the reason for which is indeed made clear to him through intellectual perception of the real nature of the creative process, but which can become an actual experience only by habitual personal intercourse with that divine spirit which is life, love, and beauty, that are at the back of the creative process and find expression through it. From this intercourse, new thoughts will continually flow in, all of them bearing that vivifying element which is inherent in their source. And the individual will then proceed to work out these new ideas with the knowledge that they have their origin and initiative power of the all-creating spirit itself. And in this way, by combined meditation and action, he will find himself advancing into increasing light, liberty, and usefulness. The advance may be almost imperceptible from one day to another, but it will be perceptible at longer interviews. And the one who is thus moving forward with the Spirit of God, when on looking back at any time, always find that he is getting more livingness out of life than he was a year previously. And this without strenuous effort, for he is not having to manufacture the power from his own resources, but only to receive it. And as for using it, that is only the exercise of the power itself. So, following on these lines, you will find that rest and power are identical. And so, you get the real new thought which grows in newness every day.